Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
Help of Hashem, we are learning Bava Metzia Daf Samach Aleph. We left off on Daf Samach Amid Beis, three lines before the bottom of the Amid. The Gemara just concluded that when the Torah uses the words Neshech and when the Torah uses the words Marbis or Tarbis, they actually are written in order to have someone who, God forbid, lends or borrows money on interest, he's violating two lavim. And this is true whether the person was lending money, whether the person was lending food. Every time there was a loan made, ribis ktsutsa, pre-arranged interest, you're oivir both on a lav called neshech and on a lav called tarbis. So Tana Rabbanim, we learned in a brais. And now we are quoting the pasuk in Parshas Bahar that we quoted yesterday. The pasuk writes over there, kaspecha loisitan loy ben neshech, ubemarbis loisitan ochlecha. So the Torah uses the words neshech in reference to money, the kaspecha, and the Torah uses the word marbis regarding lending food. Says the Gemara, says the Braisa, ainli elo neshech bekesev v'dibes ba'eichel. So reading this pasuk, you would know that if a person lends money, he's oivir on the lav of neshech. If a person lends food with prearranged interest, he's oivir on the lav called marbis. Neshech ba'eichel minayin, how do we know that if a person lends money on interest, he's also oivir on the lav called neshech? In other words, he's oivir on both lavim. So Talmud Leimer quotes the Braisa Pasik in Parshas Kiseitze. And there the Pasik writes, Loi sashich le'achicha, neshech oichel, neshech, neshech kesev neshech oichel, neshech kol davar asher yishach. So says the Braisa Talmud Leimer in Parshas Kiseitze, it says the words, neshech oichel. And before we go on, let's clarify the following. That in the Pasik in Parshas Bahar, the Torah is referring to the malva. It says, "As kaspecha loisitan b'neshech." Don't give someone else's. Don't give to someone else money for interest. So the Torah is prohibiting the lender. The pasuk in Parshas.
You're right.
Correct. The Torah is in Parshas Kiseitze, as Rashi points out over here, using the expression loisashich. So if you can look, mamash, at the end of Rashi, the last line. The Torah doesn't say don't take a bite. If the Torah would have said don't take a bite, that also would have been referring to the lender, the malva. The Torah does say the words loy sashich, don't get bitten. So it's clear that in Parshas Kiseitze, the Torah is referring to the borrower. That when you borrow money, don't allow yourself to get bitten. As we spoke out yesterday, that getting bitten is in reference to the borrower, and really not getting increased property, not increasing what's yours, is in reference to the lender. So the Torah in the Parsha of the Loiva, in Parshas Kiseitze, uses the words neshech in reference to Eichel. So as Rashi says, so far we're going to use the words agilui milsa. Since the Torah regarding the Loivi uses the words Neshech regarding to Eichel, so it makes sense that in Parshas Bahar, when the Torah is speaking about the Malva, even though the Torah explicitly uses the words Neshech in regards to money, but it also includes a Lav in regards to lending Eichel. Continues the Braisa, what about the Ribis Bekesef? What about if someone lends money? And there the Torah in Parshas Bahar, referring to the Malva, uses the words by money, Neshech. How do you know that there is also the Lav of Ribis? Ribis, Marbis, and Tarbis is the same thing. So here Talmud Leimer, here again, answers the Braisa in referring to the Pasuk in Parshas Kiseitze that's speaking about the Loiva. Now by the Loiva, the Torah uses the words Neshech, Kesef. Neshech is not Ribis. So how do you know from Neshech Kesef that is Ribis Kesef? So Daf Samach Aleph, this is a very important system that we have in Torah Shebal Peh, Im Einoi Inyan, that if the Torah says something, and that expression is not needed for itself, so we say, Im Einoi Inyan for this, Teneyu L'Inyan Acher, Im Einoi Inyan L'Neshech Kesef, the Torah did not need to use the words Neshech by Kesef. Why not? Because Shehrei Kvar Nemar, because it says in the same Pasuk, in Parshas Kiseitze, As we spoke out, the pasuk begins Lo Sashich Le'achicha, and Rashi quotes the third line on top of the Amid. Rashi at the end of the line says, and the pasuk continues that Neshech Kol Davar Asher Yishach. The Torah already put a general prohibition on everything, and everything includes money. So Neshech Kesev is not inyan, not needed. So Teneyu inyan L'Ribis Kesev, and so we see Ribis Kesev, that when a borrower, because in Parshas Kiseitze we're speaking about the loiva, when the borrower borrows money and he agrees to pay interest, he's not only oivid on the lav of Neshech, he's also oivid on the lav called Ribis. Now continues the Braise, okay, Einli Ela B'loiva, because the whole pasuk that you bought now is Parshas Kiseitze, as we just spoke out to Rashi, it doesn't say Loisi Shoich, don't bite another, it says don't get bitten. We're referring to the loiva. Bimalva minayin, that he also is over on both lavim. So here the Braise says we have a gzeira shava. Nemar neshach beloiva. And nemar the word neshach bamalva. Ma neshach amur beloiva. Loi cholakto bay ben kesav, ben ba'oichel, ben ba'neshach, ben ba'ribis. And now it seems like the Braise doesn't even need the gilui milsa that we began out with. Now that we have a gzeira shava. So now we make a gzeira shava for everything. Af neshach amur bamalva. That when the Torah uses the words neshach in Parshas Bahar, leisachlik by bein bekesef, bein ba'eichel, bein beneshach, bein beribis, meaning whether you are a malva, whether you are a loiva, whether you're lending or borrowing money with prearranged interest, whether you are lending or borrowing food with prearranged interest, for every act of such a loan, beribis, you are oiver on two lavin. Push it for one act on the lav of don't do neshech and don't do marbis or don't do ribis. As we concluded in yesterday's share, that the Torah uses the words neshech and marbis, not because midai raisa, there are separate scenarios, they're not. Wherever there's neshech, there's marbis. Wherever there's marbis, there's neshech. But every time you do one act of a loan or of a borrowing, you are over really many lavim, including two lavim automatically, neshech and marbis.
Both the lender and the borrower are both
oivet on two lavim. Really, we'll see it's more, but including the many lavim, these two lavim, for one act, whether it was food or money. Now, the common denominator between the food and the money is that that which is being loaned is actually going to be used by the borrower. When he's going to return something like it. Like when you borrow money, milva loitzon itna. So I borrowed $100, I'm going to be giving back another $100, or food. I'm going to borrow, you know, a quantity of flour, a pound of flour, I'm going to eat it. I'm going to be giving back a pound of flour, and if God forbid I agree to give back a pound plus, that's ribis and neshech. Now, just concluding the braisa, minayin l'rabis kol davar, it's not only when it comes to money or food, any other thing that you borrow in a way that you will end up using it. You'll use it out. You know, there are many commodities that don't have a long life. You know, today you have disposables. So I'm going to borrow, can you borrow me 100 disposable cups? And I'm going to use it. Lend to me, and I'm going to give you back 105, 101, 102, whatever the number is, God forbid. So in all cases, you're even on both lavim. How do you know that? Because Talmud Lomer, it says in the end of the pasuk in Parshas Kiseitze, which is referring only to the loiva. The pasuk concludes, as we just quoted in Rashi, Neshech kol davar asher yishach. And therefore, so by the loiva, the Torah clearly says, not only food and money, but anything that is similar to food and money. And again, we use the gzeira shava, anything which is applicable to the loiva is equally applicable to the malva. So therefore, again, both the malva, both the loiva, whether it is food, whether it is money, whether it is anything that is similar to it, you use it, you give back its like, and if God forbid you agree to give back not only its like, plus, and that was all prearranged, you are automatically from these psukim over to lavim, don't do neshech, don't bite or don't get bitten, don't increase your belongings illegally, and don't allow someone else's belongings to get increased. And that's the end of this braisa. Good. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nihyeh Bidvarim. Says Ravino. Ravino Amar. And it sounds that Ravina is saying something shocking. We just learned the Braisa. And the Braisa uses a Gzeira Shava to learn the din that we just said. Both Lavim and both Malva and Loiva. Says Ravina and Amayram, I want you to know that Loi Neshach Bo'eichel. The Loi Ribis Bekesav Tzricha Kra. How did the Braisa start out? That when you read the Parsha, the Pasuk and Parsha's Bahar, and the Torah uses the words by Kes Kaspacha, the words Neshach. The Torah uses the words Marbis or Ribis by Oichel, and we wanted to know whether the match works the other way as well. And ultimately, the Braisa says, it does because of the Gzeira Shava. Says Ravina, I don't need a Gzeira Shava. Not to know that by Oichel there's also Neshach. Not to know that by Kesef there's also Ribis. I don't need a Pasik. I don't need a Gzeira Shava. And why don't I need a Gzeira Shava? Because from the Pasik itself, I see that by the Malva, you have both Neshach and Marbis, both on food and on money. How do you see that? Because the Iksiv, if the Torah would have written, Es Kaspecha Lisiton Leib Neshach, putting the money before the Aveir of Neshach. Then, if the Torah would have continued the Achlecha, putting the food, then writing Bimarbis, then Kidika Amrit, then Aitaka would have needed the Gzeira Shava. Because the Pasuk clearly is only using the word Neshach for money. The Pasuk is only using the word Marbis for food. And to know that there is also Marbis for money, and also Neshach for food, you need a Gzeira Shava. But hash to the Ksiv, but now that the Torah wrote the Pasuk in a way that the Pasuk itself is already hinting, without a Gzeira Shava, that you have both Lavim for both money and food. How is that? Because the Torah says like this, it's Gemaldik, Es Kaspecha Loisitlam Loi Ben Neshach. Now, Atkan, every time we keep on quoting this Pasuk, we're putting like a comma after the word Neshach, and the Ravina is saying, don't put the comma there. The Torah writes, money, don't give for Neshach. Then we says, Ube Marbis, don't give food. So says Ravina, you know how you read the Pasuk? Let me tell you how to read the Pasuk. Put the comma in different places twice. Read number one, Es Kaspecha, don't give, Ben Neshach, Ube Marbis. Clearly meaning that if you do lend money with prearranged interest, you're over on Neshach and Marbis. And then, actually start again from two words before, Ube Neshach, Ube Marbis, Leisit Nechlech. And being that the Pasuk could be read that way, we read it that way, and the Pasuk itself is telling you, by the Malva, that there's two Lavim for each act, both on food and on money. Says the Gemara, hold on, Ravina, you're telling me we don't need a Gzeira Shava. V'hotana Nemar, Nemar Ka'amar. The Braisa says, Nemar Neshach, you have a Gzeira Shava. But you're going against the Braisa. So says Ravina Hachika Amar, Iluloi Nemar Kra. Had there not, the Pasuk would not have been written the way it's written. If the Pasuk would have been written otherwise, like we spoke out before, had the Torah written the words, Es Kaspecha Lesitim Loi Ben Neshach, Va'acholcha B'marbis, then Hoyisi Oimi Gzeira Shava, then I would need the Gzeira Shava. That's all the Braisa is telling you. However, Achshav Shenemar Kra, now that the Pasuk is written the way it does, and it can lend itself to be interpreted the way we just read it before, so Gzeira Shava Leitzarech. So Ravina standing his ground that you don't need Gzeira Shava. If we wouldn't have had the Pasuk written this way, we would need Gzeira Shava. And now the Gemara is going to say something that we all know already. We don't make up Gzeira Shavas. If not, how can you learn anything? You can find words here and words there in any area in the Torah. Ein lo davar soif. The system of a Gzeira Shava, unlike a Kal V'Chomer we make on our own. If it makes sense to make a Kal V'Chomer, you make a Kal V'Chomer. A Gzeira Shava needs to have a Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. We need to have accepted from our teachers, who heard from their teachers, that the words here, Neshach, Neshach, is used for Gzeira Shava. Hashem did not tell Moshe Rabbeinu what to use the Gzeira Shava for. But this specific Gzeira Shava is only learned because we had such a Kabbalah. We received such a Gzeira Shava. So what Ravina is really saying is that we all know that there is a Gzeira Shava here, Neshach, Neshach. The Braisa seemingly is saying it, we're using it to learn the din that we said, that there's two lavim for each act, both on money and on food. But now that Ravina is saying for that we don't need the Gzeira Shava, okay, but there is a Gzeira Shava. So Ela Gzeira Shava Lamali, so what is the Gzeira Shava used for? words, once you know that Gzeira Shava comes b'kabbalah, you cannot not use Gzeira Shava. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, there is Gzeira Shava. Okay, what for? So says the Gemara, I'll tell you for what. And the Braisa already hinted to it. L'neshech kol davar hasheyishach. The ending pasuk in Parshas Kiseitzei, referring to a loiva, adds anything that you lend, if it's for prearranged interest, your oivir, like we said, both on Neshech and on Tarbis. That is something that is not written in Parshas Bahar. It's not written when Hashem is speaking to the Malva. To like Sibbe Malva. So for that, Yitaka need the Gzeira Shava. Gevaldik. Now we learned, putting together the last few dafim, there is a love of not stealing. And we're going to see in a moment, the love of not stealing is not referring to the loy signoivu in the Ten Commandments. First of all, let's clarify, there's stealing and there's robbing, geneva and gezela. We're going to start off now with gezela. The difference is robbing. Gezela is done overtly. In other words, the robber goes in the face of the victim and he robs of him. Agana, if a thief is someone who does it hidden, covertly. In the Aseres Hadibros, when it says Lo Yisignoivu, don't steal covertly, it's actually referring to kidnapping. And really, we know this from the Rambam, it's kidnapping and making the victim do anything for you, whether it is you're making him work heavily for you, or you make him just give you a cup of water, and that's a capital sin. There's a capital punishment for that, for kidnapping and making your victim do anything for you.
But if you kidnap him, don't make him do anything?
Then you're not going to be Chayiv Misa in court. Now, we're speaking here about not robbing, and we're going to be using a pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim where it says v'loy sigzol, as we'll get to in a moment. There is also the lav that we learned in the previous pedik, also in Parshas Bahar, right near the pasuk that we were quoting here for ribis, the pasuk of oyna'a, and dafka oyna'as mamain. You cannot do a price defraud. Al toinu isha sachiv.
Price fraud.
And now we're learning the lav of not taking interest. Now they all share a common theme, which is that one who does them is taking money from another that's not rightfully theirs. So asks the Gemara, Amar Rava, Lamali the Kos of Rachmana, why did Hashem have to clearly speak about the Lav and Ribis that we're learning over here? And we are referring to, we're going to go back to Parshas Bahar, but interestingly, in Parshas Bahar, the pasuk that we started out today with, which is Perek Chafei Pasuk Lamed Zayin, with his details, as Kasper Lesit and Leben Eshech, the pasuk beforehand, pasuk lamed vav, says pashut al tikach meitoy neshech v'tarbis v'yoreisem elikecha. The Torah actually says together, don't take from him neshech and tarbis. Why did Hashem have to write that? And why did Hashem have to write the lav by theft? I'm sorry, by robbery. And that's a pasuk again in Parshas Kedoshim where it says v'loy sigzoil and a lav b'oyna'a also in Parshas Bahar. Al toinu ish es achiv b'oyna'as mamain. When we can l'chura all know one from the other, says Rava, we cannot. Tzricha, each one has a unique characteristic, and which is why each one had to be specified. The ikos of Rachman alav b'ribis, had the Torah only written alav b'ribis, I would have thought that ribis is bachlan not considered theft, not considered robbery, not considered price fraud. Bishum the chiddushu, there's something unique about ribis. What's unique? The way the Gemara is going to word it here. Da afilu b'loiva asra rachmana. Even if the loiva consents to pay interest, he we just learned is oivin on two lavin. Now hold on, the victim is oivin on a lav? Imagine if someone, the Torah doesn't tell to the victim of a robbery, don't allow yourself to get robbed. He's a victim. The fact that the Torah is prohibiting the victim is a proof he's not a victim. Like we spoke out yesterday, it's not a ben adam l'chaveiroi. Even if both parties consent to it, and it makes sense sometimes for the borrower to consent to pay ribis, because with that money he can make tenfold. The Torah doesn't allow you to do it. So that's nothing to do with theft. Even though at the end of the day, there is a certain common theme. You're taking something that doesn't belong to you because the Torah doesn't allow it. But that's a whole different category. And so therefore, the Torah writing the lav by ribis, we wouldn't learn anything from ribis. Now, the ikos of Rachman alav begezel, the Torah only written the lav in gezel. So not only would I not know ribis from it, like we just explained, you wouldn't know oina'a from it either. Why is that? Because gezel is unique mishum de ba'al karchei. Gezel is you rob someone against forcefully. By oina'a, you don't use force. Now, you don't use force because that person doesn't know that he's being defrauded, but at the end of the day, you didn't use force. So maybe using force is worse. That's a lav. If you don't use force, it's not nice, but maybe it's not a lav. Aim a loy. And the ikas of Rahman Allah by the Torah, only written the lav by oyna, I would say that there is something unique and stringent by oyna, which is that mishum de lo yada. Since Taki, he doesn't know he's being defrauded, so therefore he's never Michael. However, when it comes to Gezela, on one hand you're using force. On the other hand, since the victim knows he was just robbed, it's possible that he's Michael, not happily, but like you, she gives up hope. Now that makes the sin less severe, interestingly, from that angle, because if the owner is Michael, so then he doesn't continuously have in his possession the robber something that's not his. The owner was Michael. You know, you have these stories by these Gedolim that after someone robbed them, they went running after the Ganef and he says, you know, ich bin eich Michael. For that person not to be oivet on the lav. We're not saying that we're in that level. You can be Michael not happily, but, and therefore each one is unique. So therefore, kasav rachmana, lav bayina, mishum de lo yada de machel, and even though the victim was not Michael, still. He doesn't know, again, it's more, each one has unique, and therefore you can't, the Torah needed to write a law by each one. Says the Gemara, I get it. You would not learn, if the Torah only would have written by one of these three, you would not have learned the others from it. But Teisa Chadim Etarte, L'chura, you could learn, there are two that should have been written, and you would have had the Tzad HaShava to learn a third, and the Gemara is going to work out the Tzad HaShava. Hi, Teisa, which one should have been learned? Loi lich v'rachman alav b'ribis. If you're going to tell me that Ribis should not have been written, and V'teisei Mehanach and Ribis should be learned from Gezela and Oina, that wouldn't work. Because Ma Lahanach, like we said, both by Gezela and by Oina, Shkein Shaloi Midas, you're taking something without consent. Again, Ribis can be looked at something very lenient. Because the life is being maskim. Maybe there's no love. Okay, Toime B'Ribis, the Midate, he's consenting to pay. So the Torah certainly has to write a law by Ribis. If the Torah should only not have written the law by Ina'a, and we should learn Ina'a from Ribis and Gezel, I would tell you, Malahanach, by Ribis and Gezelam, Shekein, Ein, Derech, Mekach, Omemkar, Bekach, you don't have a real transaction. You know, you're not trading with someone else. But by Ina'a, since there is a transaction happening, even though the person was defrauded, but maybe he agreed to pay. So it's also less problematic from that angle. And if the Torah wouldn't have specified your Eivor, you would have think not. Ella explains the Gemara that the question is, that Loi Lich Lev Rachman Alav Begezel, the Torah did not need to write a law for robbery, and V'teisa Mahanach, and I will be able to learn that robbery is prohibited from Ribis and Oina, and let's work it out. The Mai Parach, what did you ask before? What would have been the refutation had only one be written? For example, by Oina, Shikmal Ribis Shikain, Chidush, that Ribis is a Chidush, and it's unique. So Oina Teichiach, by Oina, it's not a Chidush. By Oina, it's taken unjust loss. You frauded someone, you overcharged them. And if you're going to defraud them, and if you're going to ask, Malo Oina, Shekein Loyada de Machel, maybe Oina is even worse. Not only was the party defrauded, but the party was never Meichel. Ribis Techiach. By Ribis, the Loiva is Mamish Meichel Lechatchila. So Chazer Adin. So these arguments keep on going back and forth. The nature of one is not like the other. What is the common denominator between Oina'a and the Ribis that Shekein Goizloi, the Torah considers the aggressor taking something that's unjustly his, Afani Yovi Gazlin, that if you take something as a robber from someone else, which and you're taking something that's not yours, you're even on a lav. So why did the Torah have to write in Kedoshim the words Loi Sigzo? So Amri, they answered, Ravina, correct, all this is Rava. Let me just find the beginning of the sugya. Who said this to Bab Naik? It says Rava that Enachanami. They told Rava, you're right. The Torah did not have to write the lav on Gezel, and we would have had a Gzeira Shava. El alav the Gezel Lamali says the Gemara lekoyvish char sachir. It comes to teach you that if someone is going to withhold wages of a worker, he's considered, he's also even on the lava of Loi Sigzel. Frek the Gemara, Koivish, Schar, Sachir, Behedik Sivbe. There's a Beferish Apasik. And we're quoting again, Parshas Kiseitse, Loi Sa'ashoik, Sachir, Onivavian. Don't withhold the payment of a desolate poor person. Now really, not withholding wages doesn't only go if the worker is desolate, but as we learned, I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago, that if the victim is desolate and poor, and therefore they are in greater pain, and especially if they cry out, then the punishment is quicker. But the Torah clearly says you can't withhold wages. So answers the Gemara, you're right. The Torah Taka writes it once, and the Torah writes it again. La'avar olav v'shnei lavim. To be even on two lavim. Says the Gemara, 1 second. If you're accepting that when the Torah writes veloy sigzel, it doesn't mean veloy sigzel. For that we don't need. But it's only comic to teach you that another type of theft is in violation of two lavim. Why are you saying that veloy sigzel goes to the withholding wages? Why don't we make this either on ribis or on aina? To say that if you lend money by ribis, you have noch additional lav. Like we learned today, neshech, marbis, veloy sigzel. Or if you overcharge, undercharge, you're even not only an altoinu on veloy sigzel. V'lavar olav v'shnei lavim. Why? How do you know that veloy sigzel goes to loy sashoik? So answers the Gemara. It's good to know. Do you remember this? Davar halamed minyanai. Hopefully we say this every day. And the yud gimel midos. So davar halamed minyanai means a matter is learned from its context. So the pasuk of veloy sigzel that we quoted from Parshas Kedoshim, how does the pasuk begin? It's amazing. It says veloy sashek esrayacho, don't withhold wages. Veloy sigzel. So now that we established that veloy sigzel was not needed for simple robbery, so what are you going to apply it to? So davar halavim minyanai, apply it to the same topic that the pasuk was speaking about there in Kedoshim. Turning to the samach halav from the base. So now that we are in the sugya of learning that there are certain lavim that really were not needed, so now the Gemara continues. Loi signoivu the cause of Rachman alamali. And it is here that Rashi points out that the question is not on the stealing from the Aseres Adibris. Look inside the second Rashi, second line from top of the Amid. That's Taka speaking about Goyin of Nefashis. But here we are referring to the Veloy Signoivu again in Parshas Kedoshim. It says Loy Signoivu, Veloy Sichachashu, Veloy Sishakru, etc. So answers the Gemara, L'chidatanya. That Loy Signoivu is coming to teach you that Loy Signoiv, even if it's only Al Menas Lemekat, even if you're stealing only for the purpose of antagonizing, of causing anguish, meaning a person is stealing, they plan to return that which they stole. Why are you doing it? You want to cause them anguish. The famous story of the Baal Shem Tov in such a case, a person stole money to teach his friend a lesson. His lesson, a person came back from a trip and they left money very hefkerdik. So the neighbor came and he took the money, let him have the fear of someone stealing it and he'll learn to guard his money better. And then the person found out and he chalished. And by the time the guy who took it wanted to give it back, he was partially ashamed. It's a whole law that the Baal Shem Tov met a person and he whispered in his ear, give him back the money, he'll forgive you. And that person felt stuck. Anyway, that's number one. And number two, or Loi Signoiv Al Menas L'Shalom Tashlumei Kefil. Amazing. There was a person who needs help, but he doesn't want to take money. Soinim Atan Asichya. He doesn't want to take a gift. So he can have a friend. The friend, look what he does. He steals something that belongs to him, wanting to get caught. Then Beis Din is going to tell him you have to pay him back double. He did all of that to make sure that his friend gets more money. So you would think that's permitted. So the Torah is saying, never steal from someone else. Even if your intent here nach is noble. You're not causing him anguish. You're not trying to teach him a lesson. You pashut want to make sure that he gets more money. Bachavadik. He's not taking a gift. He's getting what's rightfully his. That is not permitted. Continuing, lav the cost of Rachmana b'mishkal islamali. That again in Parshas Kedoshim, as we'll see in a moment, the pasuk says leisasu aval b'mishpat, don't do something wrong, in just when you are b'mishpat b'mida b'mishkal u'b'mesura. Why did Hashem have to say don't cheat someone by using false weights? Okay, you're cheating. Again, it's like stealing. It's like robbing. You're taking something that's not rightfully yours. Amar lei letoymen mishkaloisav b'melach, that the pasuk is not referring to the actual act of wrongfully taking something that's not yours, depriving another from his property. But here Rashi says that when you put a weight in salt, certain weights become heavier. And who would benefit from it? It was common, as it's evident, that the buyer would be the one. When he goes to the merchant, he brings his own weights. He's buying a pound. So if the buyer were, if the buyer is coming with a weight of a pound, that's really a pound plus, he's going to get schayda, a pound plus, only paying for a pound. Other Rishonim say it goes on the seller. Be that as it may, that you're not allowed to do something to your weights to make them unjust, to make them heavier or lighter. Right? The seller would make it lighter. The buyer would make it heavier. That's just a specific type of robbery, but it's included in robbing. And actually, we just learned that robbing is taka not written. V'loy sigzel means loy sashayk, but it's known from a tzadashava. So answers the Gemara, no. Lavar olav mishas asiyah, that the love of robbing is the act of robbing or the act of stealing. Here the Torah is telling you that when you already tamper with your weights, that is a love in itself. Before you use the weight to defraud someone. That's why the Torah is saying, Lisashu aval bamishpat. And taka why the pasuk says over there that you can't even own a weight that's wrong. Tana Ramana, we learned in a braisa, Leisasu avul bamishpat, neither bamida with a measure, nor bamishkol, nor with a weight, nor bamasura. Masura is a very small liquid measure, as we'll learn in a moment. So explains the Gemara, what does the pasuk refer to bamida with a measure? That refers to medidas karka. They used to measure land by having measuring ropes. And the example the Gemara is going to give, which is Dafka, is if you have someone that's dividing the estate to heirs, each one is getting the same amount of, you know, you're going to get an acre, and you're measuring it out. You can't use these ropes for one during the summer and for the other during the winter. These ropes, when it was rainy, the ropes became moist and they stretched out. During summer, because of the heat, it used to contract. So you're doing this on purpose. If you're going to measure out the land for one during the winter and during one to the summer, each one will think they're getting the same amount of land, but they're not. When the ropes are actually a drop smaller, to the other, using those ropes during the rainy season, when they, because of the moisture, they stretch out. What's the meaning of mishkal? Again, as we just learned, Shulayatman Mishkalois of Bemelach, don't put your weights in salt. Either salt will make it become larger, that's a lav on the buyer, or the salt will corrode the weights, lav on the seller. Ubamesuram, in other words, don't do a oval, an avla, when you are using this small liquid measure, Shuloy Yartiach, that when you pour liquid, the seller to the buyer, in this small measuring cup, don't pour it quickly, because when you pour a liquid quickly, it has a foam that could develop. So it looks like I'm selling you the entire measuring cup, but really some of it is far-foamed. So do it slowly. And now the Gemara says, the Braisa says, V'alei Devarim Kavu Chaymer, Uma Mesura. We're speaking about a Mesura. Shehi Echad Mishloishim. Here there are different versions, either just Shloishim. In the parentheses, Shloishim V'Shloisha. There's another Girsa here, Shloishim V'Sheish. It's a very small, it's either a 30th or a 33rd or a 36th from a leg. It's a very small amount of liquid. Now true that froth in a cup, proportional wise, will always be the same. But okay, but if you look at the quantity of the theft, very little. If you're starting out with a teeny cup, and the Torah is being mocked with, make sure you don't allow froth to grow in the cup, and if there'll be froth, he's going to be getting 3 drops less. If the Torah was makbet on that, so kavochemin, if you're using the largest liquid measure that the Torah speaks about, which is a hin, which is 12 loig, or a half a hin, or a third of a hin, or a fourth of a hin, or a loig, or a half a loig, or a vias a loig, then certainly you have to be careful not to allow froth to form in the measuring cup during the sale, because you are defrauding the buyer. Amar Rava says, Rava, lovely, the cost of Rachmanit, yes, Mitzrayim Beribis, why is it that in Parshas Bahar, in the Pasuk that we just quoted in Amar Aleph, in Pasuk Lamed Vav, the Pasuk concludes, don't take Ribis and Marbis, I am God that took you out of Egypt. Why did the Torah have to write Yitzias Mitzrayim by the mitzvah of tzitzis? We say this every day, you know, the third parsha on Shema, write tzitzis from parsha Shalach, Asher Yitzias Sichom Eretz Mitzrayim. Why did the Torah have to speak about Yitzias Mitzrayim by weights in the pasuk that we mentioned right now in parshas Kedoshim? Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu explains the Braisa that God Almighty is saying, Ani hu shehivchanti b'mitzrayim, I was the one that discerned in Egypt, Bein tipa shel bechor letipa she'ena shel bechor, to find out who the bechor is. Now, especially the Mitzrayim that were shtufei zima, so you can have one woman that had many children, each one was a bechor, because the makas bechoris was whether the bechor was to the mother, and one mother can only have one bechor, or whether it was only a bechor to the father. Now, if a woman, commits adultery and she had relations with many men, she can carry the first child of those men. And who knew that? Hashem. So I who discern between who's a bechor and who's not, in other words, nothing is hidden from me, even things that are extremely small, zera, today we know, is mamash tini. So ani hu she'asid lipada mimisha toila ma'aisav binachri. I will know if someone is going to hang his money on a guy. In other words, he's going to lend money. Now, as we're going to learn later, and as we spoke out in the introduction, that really there's no isur ben adam lachaveder by ribis. It's both parties consent. Hashem does not allow us to do it. Hashem does not allow us to do it only between Jews. Between a Jew and a goy, you are permitted, and a mitzvah, if you're the lender, to take ribis. So a yid who wants to get out of people telling him you're lending money by ribis, he can lend money to a yid, but he can say, I'm only managing the money of a goy, and the guy wants interest, and no one would know. And again, the loiva is agreeing to give ribis. So God says, I know that you can hide your sin, but I know. If you don't be toila your mice on a guy, umalvo isim li Yisrael beribis. And likewise, umimisha toin mishkalaisa b'melach, if you're putting your weights in salt, who knows that? No one. God says, I know it. Umimisha toila kala ilan bebigdin. Someone who's going to take indigo, as we're going to learn in Menaches, the chilazin from which you use the dye of tcheles only comes out of the sea once in 70 years. Not like the latest attempted tcheles that does not come out of the sea once in 70 years. And because of it being so rare, it was very expensive. Now the plant from which we have the dye today called indigo is readily available, and it's extremely cheap, especially relative to the chalazin. Now, if a person has a factory and he dyes your tzitzis with chalaz, it's very easy for him to cheat you. You'll never know. He can, instead of him putting on chalazin blood, not goo, blood, again, today it's not blood, he'll put on indigo, and he's going to say it's chalaz. So wherever sinning is something that no one will know other than God, Hashem writes, I am God that took you out of Egypt. And I see little things. Ravina ikla le surah de pras. Ravina went to surah, like Rashi says, not the famous surah in which Rav was the head of the Masifta, to another surah that was on the Euphrates River. So Ravina got there. So people chapped at ayin. Oh, Ravina's here. So amalei Rav Chanina mi surah de pras le Ravina. Hold on. Very nice. We have this braisa that everyone knew that spoke about why is Yitzias Mitzrayim mentioned by three, by ribis, by tzitzis, by mishkalos. However, there is another Yitzias Mitzrayim, the kasav rachmana gab shiratzim, as Rashi quotes the pasuk in Parsha Shemini, that after Hashem does not allow us to eat all creepers, that Hashem says, Kani Hashem hamala eschem eretz Mitzrayim. Why is that needed? We don't have that in the braisa. What's with the shiratzim? So amalei, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani hu shevchanti ben tipa shel bechor letipa she'ena shel bechor. He quoted the same logic of the Braisa, that I knew, I discerned who is a firstborn and who's not. Ani hu asid lipara, I will exact retribution, b'mi she'ma'arev kirbei dagim temeim, someone who's going to mix the entails, the inner organs, or the intestines, of fish that are not kosher, entrails, b'kirbei dagim tohayrim, and I'm going to sell them as if they are the entrails of kosher fish. In other words, no human being can discern what you're selling them. What happened over here with the meat? And, you know, no one knows. Sometimes merchants feel they can get away with it. So God says, I'm going to extract retribution. So Amalei, so Rab Chanina of Surah tells Ravina, you didn't understand my question. I understood that from the Braisa that anything that is a sin that could be easily hidden, Hashem is going to write, I am God that took you out of Egypt. But my question wasn't on the Egypt, it was on the unique expression, Ani Hashem Hamalcha Mi'aretz Mitzrayim. Not like we have in Tzitzis, I took you out. Should I say CSchem? It's not about taking it, it's about I elevated you. Why is it that Dafka by Shiratzim, it's not just Egypt, but the expression is that I brought you up from Egypt? So Ravina says, that's your question. So for that, there's an answer. It's the answer that was learned in the Braisa, that they learned in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael. The Tana of Rabbi Yishmael, had I not taken you out of Egypt, only to give you the mitzvah not to eat Shiratzim, God says, Dai, I would have been satisfied. In other words, as we'll see in a moment, not eating shiratzim elevates the person. I elevated you from Egypt. Why is one elevated? Is it such a hard mitzvah to keep? Is it harder? Then not, ribis is much harder not to charge. Until today, people are constantly tempted to charge ribis. So if there is an elevation, why is it coming only from shiratzim? Is the reward greater? So Amar Leis, Ravina gave him a big rule, that afal gav deloy nafish agrayutvei. You're right, it's an easy mitzvah. And therefore the reward, which is connected to the effort, not necessarily do you have a greater reward. But mi'isei lemichlinu, since it's disgusting to eat shiratzim, being spiritually elevated isn't always connected to that which is difficult. That's a very important rule. In other words, a person should know that there are certain mitzvahs, whether they are positive or negative, that are easy. But these are the mitzvahs that will elevate you. It's not always, if it's hard in English, no pain, no gain. Lav dafka. When it comes to schar, it has to do with the tircha. But when it comes to pashut, being elevated, not eating shiratzim elevates the person. Aye, it's easy, good for you. So you're not going to get the grace or reward, but you'll become hamalcha, you'll become elevated. Vaiter. Now going back to the Mishnah. Now here also, we're not getting into the heart of the case of the Mishnah, but let's go back to the way we taught the Mishnah yesterday, that there's neshech and tarbis. Today we learned that there are two lavin for every act of lending beribis. You are oivet both on the love of Neshech and on Tarbis. But when the Mishnah spoke on the Ezeo Neshech Vezeo Tarbis, so the Mishnah gave an example of Neshech, which was the example, the classical lending money or lending food pre, when you lend it, you make up and you're going to give me back that plus. And then the Mishnah said, Vezeo Tarbis, and the example was Hamar Bebepetis. And the example we spoke about yesterday, and a lot more, God willing, tomorrow to understand the case of the Mishnah. And we're just quoting the case. That a buyer gave a seller one dinar, one golden dinar, which is 25 salim, to get a certain amount of koir of wheat. And we learned that was during the time that that wheat was already available on the market. And again, we're gonna go over this case later. The problem will be the following. In other words, when the Mishnah says, what's tarbis, tarbis, ribis, and marbis is the same thing. So there's the concept of increasing wrongfully, and neshach, and biting or getting bit. We already taught the Mishnah after the Sol Sugya, that when the Mishnah gave in the Reisha case of neshach, it didn't mean only neshach without ribis. It meant neshach and ribis. And then the Mishnah is giving a case of tarbis only. And when do you have a scenario where you're only oiver on tarbis and you're not oiver on neshech, only by ribis derabanan? Which makes sense, because by ribis derabanan, you're not biting anyone. No one is getting bitten. No one is getting bitten. It's the wrong midrabanan, as we'll go back again to the case tomorrow, right? I prepaid. I'm not paying you over. I'm not losing money. I gave you one dinner. At that moment, it's taco worth that a quantity of wheat. The fact that the wheat price went up later, good for me, so I benefited. So that's the case where someone is getting more without the other person losing anything. But the Gemara is asking, is there no case midoiraisa where there is only tarbis? So the Gemara says, no, there's not. Amar Rababo, that atkan, the first case of the Mishnah is using the words neshech, and as we just said, both neshech and tarbis, that's only. When do you have always both? when you're oivered on dibis min ha-toira. Mikan ve'elach, and Dafka, the Mishnah gives an example, which is only shel divrayim, only by dibis divrayim can you find a scenario where there is tarbis without nesh. V'chein omar rava, atkan shel toira. The resh of the Mishnah, the case is dibis do'eraisa. Mikan ve'elach shel divrayim. Atkan, he continued, and he's quoting a pasuk in Iyuv, and as we have here on the side of the Mesedas HaShas, that the pasuk is not being quoted verbatim. Verbatim in the pasuk is Yachin v'tzadik Yilbash. But the Gemara is writing Yachin Rasha, the Rasha prepares, and who is going to use that preparation, the tzadik. Which means that if a person lent money, beribis ktsutza, and the person gets ribis, and he violated the Doraisa, and then the person passes away, the heirs that inherit his estate don't have to return it. So Yachin Rasha, but who gets the benefit from it? The child. So asks the Gemara, Atkan. The normally the Malva has to give it back. But if the Malva dies, then the heir doesn't have to give it back. So the father was a Rasha. But now that he died, the tzaddik, the child, can use it. So asks the Gemara, hold on, Atkan Vesuloi, only by Ribis Doiraisa does the heir not have to give it back? By Ribis Derabanan, it's more, not only does the heir not have to give it back, we spoke it out in the introduction yesterday, by Ribis Derabanan, it's not Yoitze B'dayanim. Even the thief, even the Malva himself doesn't have to give it back. So he clarifies, that's exactly what the Braisa means. Elo, afilu atkan yochan rosh v'yilvash tzadik. By ribis midrabanan, by havak ribis. Even the one who violated doesn't have to give it back. Rabbanan always havak ribis. Ribis deraisa is called ribis ktsutza. Ribis derabanan is called havak ribis. And then there are other, even lesser rabbinic prohibitions. For example, ribis mugdemis, ribis mocheres, where you don't have to be lohoitzi midei shamayim and give it back. But coming back over here, by Rabbanan, the perpetrator doesn't have to give it back. The Braisa is saying that by Ribis Doiraisa, that the lender has to return it. And we'll, again, we paskin yoitze bidayonim. We'll get suna machlekes. Even there, if he dies, the heir does not have to give it back. That's pshat that afilu, by Ribis Doiraisa, the tzaddik, the child, can use it. Atkan Ribis Ksutza. Says Rabbi Lozer. Now we said the halacha yesterday, but now we're going to see that it's a machlekes amoraim. We're speaking now about ribis ktsutza, means pre-arranged interest. Pre-arranged means that when the loan took place, they arranged that the money will be returned plus. That's ribis ktsutza. And yet we paskin that yoitza bedayanim, but we're going to learn the machlekes. Amar Rabbi Lozer says Rabbi Lozer ribis ktsutza yoitza bedayanim. However, avak ribis, if one violates ribis midrabanan, let's use the simplest example. It's a loan. When they lent the money, no one spoke about the ribis. I'm lending you $100, and I want $100 back. But when you come and pay me back later, you give me $110. Wow, you know, you're so nice to me. You let me hold it for so long. That's an example of ribis midrabanan.
You do the ribis.
Yes.
And then afterwards, you say, hey, give me my money back. And the guy gives it back.
Yes.
Negate the lava? Does that erase it, so to speak?
Yeah. If you're yoitze bidayonim, it's mamish like gezeila, and we'll learn that later. That the reason why you don't get malkis for taking money but ribis is because it's semitic class A.
Like a fix-it ticket.
Yeah. Okay, so but avak ribis any yoitze b'dayanim. Again, even though we're going to learn later that lotzeis l'day shamayim, you got to give it back also. But they can't force you in court. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan says afilu ribis ktsutza name eino yoitze b'dayanim. And now we're going to learn the sources of this machlekes between Rabbi Lozer Dabreira, Rabbi Lozer ben Pedas, and Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, my tamed Rabbi Yochanan that ribis ktsutza einoi. Yoitze b'dayanim, the Amar Kron, and we're quoting a pasuk in Yecheskel, that b'neshech nosan, that you lent money in a way that you're biting your fellow. V'sar b'slokach, and you took something that increased your property. V'chai, and you think you're going to live. Lo yichyem, es kol atoyev esu'elo asa. One who does these abominations will not live. In other words, lemisanitan, the Torah uses a definitive expression, which implies that v'loy lihishavan, that it cannot be rectified by returning. Because if there is a tikkun, by returning it, and if not, you're a mechuyev to return it, and if that would have been the case, then you would not die, then the Torah wouldn't have written it in such a definitive way. This is not a clear raya. There are many avedas in the Torah for which one is chayv misa v'dei shamayim, but if you do tshuva, then you'll be exempt from misa v'dei shamayim. But it appears the Torah writes things in a definite way. It implies that it's a definite you're chayv misa, that you're stuck. Which proves that any yitzah b'dayanim. Yeah, absolutely. Correct. In other words, even according to the opinion that any yitzah b'dayanim, l'chura, if you give the money, if you do tshuva, and you give the money back, you won't be chayiv misa. But if you're mechuyev to give it back, in other words, Bezin is going to force you to give it back, then it's not mashma that Pasuk will say that you're going to die, you're not going to live. Why would you not live? Dayanim are going to force you to give it back. So that's a ray that any yitzah b'dayanim. Rav Ada Barahava Amar, he says you don't have to go to Nach. You don't have to go to Divrei Kabbalah. You can go back to the pasuk in Bahar in the Hamishi Chumshi Torah. The Torah says, "Al tisha al tikach mi itoy neshech." Pasuk lamed vav v'tarbis. Don't take the pasuk is referring to the malva. Don't take neshech and tarbis. V'yoreisam elakecha. V'yoreisam elakecha means, and if you do so, you will always live with the fear of God. Not like we learned before. Be a yira shemayim. God is watching you. Don't do it. It means if you did it. Now you taka have to live in fear. And again, if you are obligated to give it back, but dayanim, why would you live in fear? Bezin will force you to give it back and you won't have fear. Lamayra nitin lo yishav. Rava Amar. Rava says further. Yeah. Because you're going to get punished. Again, and if the Bezin will force you to give it back, then l'chura you should be in fear. Bezin will get you, but not from punishment of God. Now Rava says, when you go back to Yecheskel, look at that pasuk. That pasuk itself, even clearer, writes that you're not going to be forced to give it back because the pasuk says, "Migufa dekrash mele, mois yumas dam of boy." Wow, dam of boy yia, his blood shall be upon him. Wow, that's how strong it is. Lending money beribus that hukshu malva beribus l'shev chidamim. The fact that the Torah uses the words dam of boy yia. It's like murder. Just like if one person, God forbid, murders the other, you can't fix that. Good. So all that is nice to explain Rabbi Yechanan. Now, Omar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, okay, what's the source of Rabbi Lozer, which is Takada Halacha, that Ribis Kitsutsa is Yoitze B'dayanu. So the Omar Kra, it says in Parshas Vayikre, at the end of the pasuk that we quoted, V'yoreisam Elikecha, and then it says, "V'chei achicha imach," and your brother should live with you. Don't take neshech v'tarbis v'yereisim elikecha and v'chei achicha imach. So he says, you know what the pasuk is telling you? The pasuk is not telling you that since you will not charge ribis, so your brother will live with you. The Torah is telling you that if you violated the law and you charged ribis, now there's a new din, a positive mitzvah. Make sure that he'll live with you. How do you rectify it? Give him back the money. If not, you don't let him live. Give him back the money. That's the way he teaches the v'chei achichim. Now, what are we yichanon? Hi, v'chei achicha imach my avid lei. So answers the gemara mibayil l'chedetanya that this v'chei achicha imach has nothing to do with rectifying your ribis, yoytze b'dayanim, or any yoytze b'dayanim. It's connected to the following halacha that we are familiar with. That shnayim shoyim halchem baderech. If two people are going on a journey together, u'biyad echad mehem kitn shalmayim, and only one of them has a jug of water. And im shoysim shneim, if they're going to share the water from their estimated arrival time, they're not going to have enough water for both of them to survive this journey, and they're both going to die. For one, there is enough water to get through the journey, but if one will drink the water, the other one will die. Vim shoysa echad mehem, is he'll get magia liyishuv, the one who will drink all of it will talk and make it through the desert. What do you do? So dara shraf petura. Mutav sheyishtu shneim v'yemusu. It's better for both of them to share the water, even though that without some unknown miracle happening, some water appearing, they will both die. Va'al yira echad mehem b'misasa shel chaveri. But one should not see the death of his friend. That is what Ben Petura said. Achabar Abakiva. And v'limed, and he taught this pasuk in Bahar, that v'chei achicha imach, your brother should live with you, means you have to live. And your brother should live with you. But in order for you to help your brother on the account of you dying, don't do that. Chayecha kleidman. That you have to value your life comes first. L'chayecha v'edecha. So Rabbi Yechanan is going to teach the v'chei achicha imach like Rabbi Akiva. That's the Bahar. that's not a contradiction to the V'yavta L'riyacha Kamoichem. Well, actually, V'yavta L'riyacha, like you, like you. We learned in Saita that what is V'yavta L'riyacha Kamoicha? That Berer Lo Misa Yafa, Gevaldik. Right? When you kill him, make sure he dies with more dignity. That's a Gevaldik. Everyone is Yeretz and Lad Avos Yisrael. But Chassidus says that means that even if there's a Yid who's Chayiv Misa, so you would think, oh, I don't have to love him. Even on that, he's Chayiv Misa B'day Adam. Even on him, you have to do Avos Yisrael. That's the right way of looking at it. So we'll stop over here. Bingo, we have a few more minutes. I think this is the second time that it happened, to my knowledge, that yesterday we skipped Pashat the line. Just to have everything online. So on Daf Samach, let's go back to Daf Samach. I skipped the line before the Mishnah. We were learning, the Mishnah tells you, this is regarding practices of salespeople, business, what are legitimate business practices and what are crooked business practices. So the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to dilute wine by putting water into it. However, the Mishnah says, it's 8 lines from the bottom of the Amid. Pashut, one-liner. If the minig in the place is to actually dilute the wine, then you're not defrauding anyone. You're not deceiving anyone. You're allowed to do it. So Tani, we learned in a Braisa, you know how much water they use then? If the minig was to put 50% water, you can do that. A third, whatever the norm was, you are allowed to do it. And on that says Rav, Ubein Hagitoy Shanu. I think that's the Chiddush. There are different ways of learning this Gemara. Bein Hagitoy means during the season of making the wine. We learned yesterday that when they were making the wine, before it finished fermenting, for example, if you mix two wines together, it didn't ruin the taste. See, after the season, after it finished, then if you would mix wines together, it would be to the detriment. We learned that yesterday. So maybe what Rav is saying, that if Bein Hagitoy Shanu, that when did they add the water? During the production season. After the production season, then adding water was not good for the wine. The client did it. Bottom line is, you can only add water according to the local minig, and you can never deviate from the local minig. It's not just in quantity, but also see, is the local minig to add it during the fermenting, after the fermenting, and you can only do what is normally done, to be continued.